You just can't make that kind of stuff up, can you?
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Know the Source on One Radio Network.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, here we go, hour two of our little show. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. On the last Monday of the month, we have good friend, cool guy, raconteur, bon vivant, man about town, naturopath, Stephen Huer. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Patrick.
What are you doing? What's going on? Oh, my goodness. I think we should all move to Malta. What do you think?
I know. I just heard the tail end of that interview. I wish I would have listened to the whole interview. I guess I'm going to have to go back and listen to it on the archive.
This guy was fascinating.
Yeah, that stuff is always fascinating when you got somebody that's been on the inside of that stuff. At the end there, when he was talking about all the corruption and stuff, I just wanted to know, have you ever interviewed Karen?
Karen Hudes?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have. You know, I think she, let me see, how can I be nice here? Let's see, how can I be nice? Yeah, I think she's just a total fraud.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I guess that's as nice as I could be. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, some of the stuff she says is educationally accurate, you know?
Yeah, I think she still works for the World Bank.
Oh, okay.
That's a story.
She says that basically if we went back to, you know, Congress-generated or U.S. Treasury-generated money that didn't have any debt attached to it, we'd all be set free. And, you know, she's basically diagnosing the problem and telling you what to do to fix it. So,
oh, I see. Well, we talk about that all the time on Andrew's show, Stephen. Mm-hmm. Problem is that Treasury cannot legally create their own notes. They took away their authority to do that with the Community Redevelopment Act of 1991.
Yeah, so my point is that, you know, she says things that are right on. Like if there's constitutional convention, you need a certain number of states to do that, and there's already like 49 of the 50 states that have all raised their hands saying they want a constitutional convention. You know, we could change everything once that constitutional convention convenes. We could say, this is the constitution we're going to, you know, run by, and we're going to modify it here and there, and Treasury is going to go ahead and generate notes as money with gold backing it. And
well, they don't, you know, there's not enough gold to back the money, but...
Yeah, I know. She says there is, so...
Yeah, well, I know. That's one of the... And she also says that she's like the trustee for, I don't know, billions of dollars worth
right,
of gold.
Right.
This gold doesn't exist in our studies over the years. It doesn't even exist. And, you know, we figured out, Stephen, with the amount of money that the United States Treasury claims they have, there's not been an audit since 1960? It would be gold. Do you know how much gold would be?
How much?
$50,000 an ounce.
Okay.
That'd be good. No, of course, you know, but yeah, if you could get back to some real money, it'd be true. But, you know, you still have $20 trillion worth of debt to deal with. And it's a fascinating study. Yeah, we talk about this stuff all the time on the Real World of Money every Wednesday, and I've learned so much about it. And but Congress actually took away the ability for Treasury to create their own notes, I think, under Clinton's watch 20 years ago.
So yeah, but you could say that about every illegal law that they've created, such as the 16th Amendment.
Sure. Yeah, they're all illegal.
I don't care what law they've created. If it's not according to the common law, the Constitution, then it's all treason, and they're all treasonous.
Right, but we're not really operating under the Constitution in this country. You know that.
No, I know that, but that's my point. The people think they are, and if enough people got educated and they actually collaboratively came together to do the Constitutional Convention, you could then change the Constitution and change government.
Yes, you could. And I believe you're right. There's a whole bunch of states, isn't there, Stephen, that says, yeah, we'd like to do this. I don't know the latest on that, but it's pretty...
I don't know. According to Karen, it's 49 of the 50.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it's pretty curious. You know what? You know, stuff like this, Stephen, would be enough to make you have a stomachache. Well, that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yes.
Hey, what do you think?
Except we're not going to talk about the psychological, emotional parts of how to fix it.
Boy, yeah, you talk about, oh, my goodness. You know what's curious, Stephen Huer, and that's what we're going to talk about, the gut, and I love talking about this because there's so much to learn. If you care to join us, 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. Now, I will kick it off with this. As you know, I've been through my own years of irritable bowel syndrome that are now gone, acid reflux stuff that is now gone, and that's taken, 2 years to figure out? And I figured out that it was all, of course, everything is all spiritual, you know, right? It all is, right? At a top level. Of course, there's a lot of things we can do in the physiological along the way. But isn't it curious, I don't know, and I think it happens for a lot of people, that when we get out of balance spiritually, if we can say something like worry, maybe angst, fear, just overall stinking thinking, as we call it, that the gut, either be the stomach or the colon, it seems like it's the go-to place for these emotions for a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
That is true for a lot of people, I agree.
Yeah, I wonder. So, I've often mused about that. Maybe it was just an evolutionary kind of a thing, Stephen. I'm just conjecturing here. I have no idea what I'm talking about. That as people got stressed out in their life and, when some guy got kicked out of his cave for, whatever he was doing, that you just didn't eat when you weren't feeling well, because does that make sense? Maybe because you just can't digest your food, and if things are cattywampus, it's just probably not a good idea to eat.
Yeah, I mean, just physiologically, when you're preoccupied with something, then the nervous system switches over to be in sympathetic, so you're not, shunting enough energy to the parasympathetic for digestion.
Mm-hmm.
If something's unresolved. And you said that you actually healed, I thought, through some kind of body work where somebody held muscle groups and, there was a lot of pain, release, and then you were free of your digestion.
Yeah, that's right. On the, and that was also, Stephen, on the sciatica as well. So I went from the colon to the sciatica back to the stomach, and now I'm moving on to liver. I'm just moving one at a time, it's great. It's just amazing. I got a liver story that'll knock your socks. Anyway, yeah, that's right. As I was able to do more stretching, like with the Pa Da La Jing, that Chinese thing, and body work, it facilitated me to see the spiritual things that I was holding on to, old thoughts, old traumas from a kid I told you about. And was able to bring those to the surface and then allow me to release them. And then, of course, doing things nutritionally was great, like just drinking buckets of aloe, those kind of things, and doing things that you recommend, and doing other things to soothe the gut, things like, the herbs, slippery elm, and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But yeah, I keep doing all those things, but it just took a whole package for the whole thing to eventually just reset itself, to reboot.
That's awesome. You overcame it all. That's great.
Yeah. And I did that IBS thing for years, every couple of years. And I had no idea. I never knew what it was. I mean, 20 years ago.
Huh.
You just wake up in the morning, all of a sudden your gut hurts so bad you didn't know what to do.
Wow.
Yeah. This is really before I got into it. And I didn't know. And I just thought I was going to die. And then a week later, it went away.
Yeah. I've never had that kind of piercing pain myself. I've had tremendous bloating and, I guess, fullness feeling.
Yeah.
Never like sharp pains like you're describing.
Yeah. So what kind of, we have somebody on hold wants to talk to you. If you're on hold, stay right there. Talk about some of the people that come to you for consultation, Stephen, with gut issues, and what are some of the things that you start them on and on the physiological level?
Well, depends upon the person, but sometimes it's very simple. The person's digestive tract is just inflamed. They've got ulcerative colitis or something, and they're not, they're not dealing with mucoid plaque, fecal matter buildup in the intestines. So they just need to put in the right probiotics, take away the inflammatory foods. It's pretty commonly known that when you consume gluten will activate a chemical pathway that will cause you to produce more of this chemical called zonulin.
Zonulin. I never heard that one. Zonulin.
Yeah. And then what happens is that that chemical causes the cells of your intestinal tract that are called the tight junction cells that regulate what can go into the bloodstream or not. They open up and they allow for the absorption of large proteins from your food. And then the consequent effect of that is that when these large proteins go into your system, not only do you have the immune system to, you know, start trying to clean them up and have to overwork the immune system doing that, and you might get a histamine release and all that and inflammation, mm-hmm. but you're going to get, sometimes what can happen is that there can be a sequence of amino acids on the foreign protein, on the gluten or the casein or whatever that protein is in the bloodstream now, that has the same sequence of amino acids as your joint tissues or your thyroid tissue or whatever tissue of your body, you know, that's got that sequence of amino acids. And so now the immune system that's going after this food antigen is now going after your own tissues, and that's autoimmunity. That's one explanation.
Well, that's fascinating, huh? That little paper trail you just presented so nicely for us. Obviously, you researched it. Do you think it's pretty accurate with the way this thing works, what you just said, the autoimmunity? I've never heard it explained that clearly.
Yeah, that to me is that's the best explanation that I've... I think there's multiple explanations. Just like Klinghart said that, you know, when you've got a toxin in the tissues, mm-hmm. that deforms the protein of the tissue, now it's going to look like a foreign tissue, or you've got the, you know, metabolic waste of a viral or a bacterial infection in the tissues, and they're modifying the protein structure of a tissue or organ, and so the immune system will go after it for that reason. So I think there's multiple reasons why the immune system goes after your own tissues, but that's the one that is based on food that was, you know, I learned about that made sense to me.
Yeah, that does make sense. So your conjecture, this conjecture is that a particular protein, whether it be casein or gluten or something like that, as it slips through, it somehow is coated with a maybe particular organ, like thyroid or something, and for some reason?
It's just that proteins are, you know, hundreds of amino acid sequences long in most instances. Uh-huh. And so you could basically say, well, there's a five amino acid sequence of the gluten protein, of the maybe 200 amino acids that make up gluten protein, maybe five of those amino acids are in the same sequence as that's found in the thyroid or some tissue of the body. And so once that, you know, food antigen gets into the system, the immune system goes after it and then starts to detect other protein sequences or amino acid sequences in the tissues that are the same as the food, and you've got autoimmunity born.
Uh-huh.
So wow. With regards to the people that I talk to, I would say, okay, you know, you get off of the grains, you get off the gluten, you could probably tolerate rice because it doesn't have gluten in it, and you know, but just eliminate the gluten-containing grains. And the exception to that is that for people with, you know, severe sensitivity to gluten, like celiac people, there are people that have done studies on people with celiac where they just take good organic whole grain wheat and make it into sourdough, and because of the souring process, the peptides of gluten are broken down, and these people with celiac can eat that sourdough bread and have no problem. Or the same as if you sprout it. You sprout the grain and it, you know, breaks down the proteins of the gluten into peptides and amino acids, and then it's no longer a problem. Or you take that grain, the einkorn grain, and you use that, and mm-hmm. with celiac and stuff, don't have any problem with that one. So just some suggestions for people with, you know, the gut sensitivity, how to avoid it. And then, you know, same thing with dairy. If they're going to consume dairy, just to go with grass-fed, and if they might need to avoid it altogether temporarily so their gut doesn't have anything that they're reacting to.
Stephen, do you think that once we get our gut all tightened up, you said like the little junctions and all of that, in theory then you could, let's see, as long as the food was good and not genetically screwed up, in theory then you could eat about anything without any reaction? Or
yep. Yep.
Is that true, do you think?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah.
So maybe maybe our parents or something back in the 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, I mean, people didn't really have these kind of problems. They just ate food.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't. But the thing is that back then, there's other factors. It's like the amount of glyphosate in the food supply didn't exist then.
Right.
Yeah. And I know you've talked about this extensively with Stephanie Seneff and whoever, mm-hmm. but it's like, maybe this is going to be repeat for some of you listeners or you too. I don't know. But
no, that's all right.
You know, there's a lot of grains that are sprayed. There's this thing called staging. And mm-hmm. so all crops that you could grow will always ripen unevenly. If you were to grow tomatoes, you're going to get some picked, you know, 60 days after, and then 90 days after, and they're all ripening unevenly.
Mm-hmm. Well,
the same thing with grains. And so for convenience, for the harvesting purposes, they spray wheat and oats and flax and lentils and peas and dry beans. They spray these grain and legume crops with glyphosate 3 to 5 days prior to harvest so that they're good and dry, and they're all easily, when they call it swathing, so that they can basically swath and cut the field, and everything's going to harvest 100% at the same time.
So this is above and beyond early on using Roundup and the glyphosate issue. Then they're also spraying glyphosates before they harvest.
Yeah, so the food that you're eating that's not GMO, because GMO corn and GMO soy, of course, are going to have glyphosate residues, but now we're talking about non-GMO crops where they spray the glyphosate on that crop so that it dries out and is easily harvested, where they get 100% harvestability, and there's some other benefits they get, like a faster ripening and stuff of the grain. And then that grain, that wheat or that oats or whatever, is going to have the glyphosate residues in it. So everyone, so many people go out to eat at restaurants and they think they're health conscious and they're innocently eating their corn tortilla chips.
Or whatever, yeah. Yeah,
or their, wheat tortilla tortillas or whatever. And they're getting residues of glyphosate in their intestinal tract and in their body, which totally destroys all the beneficial bacteria of your gut,
yeah,
and encourages the growth of the pathogenic bacteria of your gut, thus creating total distress, dysbiosis for your digestive tract. People don't realize this. It's like, if you're going to heal your gut, you have to make sure that all your foods don't contain any glyphosate residues. And that means, you got to think of all the animals that have been raised on, whether it's chickens eating soy and corn-based feed or cows eating corn and soy-based feed. They've got all that glyphosate in there that's going into their tissues. It's going to their eggs. It's going to their fat. And you're going to eat that steak or that chicken or that egg with glyphosate residues. So you have to make the effort to shop and buy pasture-raised animal products and, of course, organic grains and legumes.
So, Stephen, to the best of your knowledge, are the organic, pure, the ones that are really organic, and you got to be careful these days, they don't do this glyphosate spraying?
Right. No, of course not.
Okay.
Yeah.
They can't.
No, they can't. And then, the other thing, if people need more evidence, it's like they've done studies on this with glyphosate, and, they could expose fish to glyphosate, and they develop the same digestive distress as someone with celiac disease.
So say that again now. Say that again.
They've done studies with fish where they've exposed them to glyphosate, and they develop the same digestive tract symptoms as someone with celiac disease.
Wow. So
I'm just saying all of our parents, our ancestors, didn't get exposed to this. They didn't have polychlorinated biphenyls, PCBs. Those are now in the environment. Those also contribute to this loosening up the tight junctions and causing you to absorb proteins. So you got PCBs, you got glyphosates, you got just the bad diet in general, and that are causing people to have so many digestive tract problems that didn't exist with our parents and grandparents.
Yes, sir. I understand it. Well said. And then, this might get spooky, but think about the commercial, maybe even the meats that say they're grass-fed, but they're not grass-finished, they give them lots of alfalfa, right, at the end, or whatever. Most of these grains are not organic, unless they are organic. So what are they doing to the cows and the horses and the pigs?
I haven't investigated that. That's something that I don't know about. I just thought that if it said grass-fed, it's grass-fed its entire life.
No,
not
grass-finished.
Yeah.
It's got to be grass-finished, too. And Whole Foods has a whole section that are grass-finished, and there are companies that say grass-fed, grass-finished, like even at HEB, which is believable. Can you believe that? Like the grocery store in Texas, they have grass-fed, and they have grass-fed and grass-finished, which costs a little more.
Right.
Just because you're grass-fed doesn't mean, but I guess then they also have grass-fed and organic, and that's good because if they give them corn at the end of the cycle, then at least it's organic corn. And I have seen photos, Stephen, out of Australia, where they have shown the organs of the different chickens and the liver and the pigs that have eaten GMO crops, and it does affect the animals. I don't know whether then that gets transferred to us, but I mean, it doesn't sound good.
Yeah, no, I've seen the pictures too. I think it was in Acres USA probably a year ago, and I saw something recently. It's kind of, I thought I'd see more on the internet. The Monsanto people must have be doing overtime to try and keep the internet clean of evidence of the disastrous effects on GMO crops on animals.
Sure.
Seen a lot in the past. I don't see anything now, except maybe a little deformed pig, which I've got on my report here. But yeah, it's not really, according to the studies that I've read, like they've done studies with, I guess, the GMO grains, and they saw no problems with the development of the animal, but it's the glyphosate residue that's causing the genetic deformities and the sicknesses in the animals.
But GMO is glyphosate, right, Stephen? If they're GMO?
I know. So that study wasn't clear with that.
I guess you would have to find out exactly where that study comes from and who did it and who financed it. Because, wow, man, no wonder there's so much tummy stuff going on.
Exactly. Whew. I mean, this number of people that are innocently eating something with glyphosate in it, it's just everywhere and in everything compared to, you know, if you're selectively taking the effort to buy foods that are organic and grass-fed, grass-finished, that's the minority of people in the country.
Stephen here is with us. Stephen is the force behind One World Way. What a great product that Stephen's been doing for how many years now, Stephen?
I think it's this is the seventh year.
Seventh year.
I think so. Yeah.
When somebody emails you for the first time and asks you, how is One World Way different from, I mean, I go to the hippie food store and I get some whey protein half the price of what you're charging.
So when we go back to what we were just talking about, the feed of the cows, if the feed of the cows, which, you know, 95 or 90, the larger percentage of all the cows whey protein in the market comes from cows that are fed on GMO grains, so they're going to have glyphosate in their food, then the plus there's this thing called agricultural wastes that they feed the cows. So rather than the real diet of grass that cows are supposed to get, they give them carbohydrates that have nothing in them, citrus peel cake, the skin of grapes, beet pulp that's got everything taken out of it, cottonseed meal, all these different things that are carbohydrates without nutrients. So you end up with an animal that's so sick and so weak, and it has so much actual bacterial counts in its milk, it's called pus. That's why they have to pasteurize it, because it's so full of bacteria, and that kind of milk is pasteurized it's pasteurized twice, usually 161 degrees, so then it's denatured, so now the amino acids and proteins are all misshapen. And if you put that stuff in your body, you have to be robustly like a bodybuilder, genetically super strong with a robust functioning liver to detoxify the unusable amino acids and proteins that are denatured. And that's the rare person that can use that. If you've got health challenges, you're going to want to, you know, stay far away from that stuff, because it's going to bring you down further. It's just going to weaken you. And with One World Way, it's truly unheated. It's truly non-denatured. And then it's frequency science encoded so that there's these frequencies that when that whey protein comes in contact with your cells, the frequencies are telling your cells that to increase their protein synthesis and their energy production. And that's how people can call us back up and say, hey, I used to have ulcerative colitis, and it's all gone after 30 days on your whey protein.
Stephen, this idea of pasteurization has been known for a while, where even Louis Pasteur had suggested later on in his life that his thing was wrong, right?
Yeah.
And it's true that when they pasteurize and homogenize milk, talk about it from a scientific thing, what goes on with the actual proteins and the amino acids and the body's ability to absorb it.
So when they homogenize it, they are pressing it through really fine sieves at high speeds, and that's going to rip open the fat molecule and make it into a very much smaller molecule, so it's going to, you know, be able to, say, suspended evenly distributed throughout the milk. That's homogenization, rather than floating to the top as cream on the top of milk. So that's causing the fat cells to become damaged, and the xanthine oxidase enzyme supposedly is released from this, or it becomes coated, so it now gets carried into the system, and it contributes to plaque buildup. This xanthine oxidase somehow irritates the lining of the arteries, and it's, if people examine the plaque material in people's arteries, they find xanthine oxidase in that fatty plaque material, and that's something that's absorbed as a result of homogenizing milk. So drinking homogenized milk is drinking milk that contributes to atherosclerotic plaque. The proteins are all denatured, so all the immunoglobulins, even though colostrum is the richest source of immunoglobulins because the first 3 days of mother's milk is designed to transfer the immunity of the mother to the baby calf, it's still got immunoglobulins in it after that, in milk, in lower amounts. So whether it's lactoferrin, whether it's all these different substances, including growth factors called IGF-1, IGF-1, you know, the same thing found in your body would contribute to healing of your gut if it was non-denatured, but if it's denatured, it ain't going to do anything but be a burden to your liver to eliminate it. It's as I've said before, proteins and amino acids have to retain the shape, the geometrical shape that nature gave them in order to be used by your body to create new human tissue. If that shape changes, the protein, if its shape changes, then your body can't use it. It may attempt to break it down into amino acids and use it that way, might not be able to. And then the amino acids, if they're denatured or bent or twisted, the body can't use them at all. The liver and kidneys then have to work overtime to filter all this nitrogen waste out. In fact, I have a theory that one of the reasons we deteriorate in age is due to the denatured amino acids that build up in the tissues. I don't know if that theory is accurate, but it seems to be.
So then you assure that all the moo cows are grass-fed, no drugs, no Prozac or anything like that. And they don't watch TV. And you have a way to get the one world way in there without pasteurization into the container.
Yeah, I am. It's I'd like to be able to visit farms. I haven't had the pleasure of doing that, but I've heard of the size of one of the farms. It's pretty big, all Jersey cows, Amish farm. And I can only truly know by my experience, and my experience is that I don't have a negative effect on the way compared to any other way that I take. I do. I always get a negative 3-hour window of fatigue from doing a pasteurized whey product.
Stephen Huer and One World Whey, you can click on the front page if you'd like to try this product. People really like it and do very well on it. And I do well on it, and I can't do a whole lot of just like a straight, even raw, grass-fed glass of milk. I'm getting better and better as my tummy heals, but it's a very nice product, and the kids would love it. And chocolate, vanilla, strawberry, unsweetened, unflavored whey, right on the front page of One World Whey. All the new stock is in and being shipped, and we appreciate your patience. So over this time when somehow we just got behind the curve, but those things happen in business when you're looking at inventory and things like that. All right, it's April 24th, 2017. I'm sorry for those of you, this person on hold. We will get to you right after we just do this little quick minute or so, and then we'll take our first call and get back into this great subject with Stephen Huer on all about healing the gut. Previously with Stephanie Seneff, PhD, research scientist with MIT on her work with glyphosates, GMO, and sulfur.
I know you really care about sulfur, and so do I. You know, I really think sulfur is crucial for health, and that we have a massive problem with sulfur deficiency in this country. One of the proteins that I found that is disrupted by glyphosate, because it has an essential glycine, is sulfotransferase. That's a protein that moves sulfate from one molecule to another, but it's really, really important to be able to do that.
And why wouldn't it be able to do it? Because the glyphosate disrupts the natural sulfur cycle in our body?
The cell won't be able to defend itself with sulfate if it can't put the sulfate there. And of course, glyphosate chelates sulfur.
A perfect storm in the challenges department, perhaps, but we're getting creative. So we know that we've been low on sulfur for years because of the chemical fertilizers, and now the GMO thing, which is disrupting the sulfur cycle. And we know with sufficient amounts of sulfur in the body, it's the natural way that the body gets these heavy metals, for example, mercury and mercury sulfate, out of the body if we have enough sulfur. Click and order sulfur today on OneRadioNetwork.com.
SDL Incorporated is offering 3 free CDs to listeners of the One Radio Network on the definition of money, the history of the Federal Reserve, and protecting your wealth, which describes in brief how investors can utilize American gold and silver coins as a portion of your portfolio to provide some physical assets to compensate for the loss that most people now see in paper money, which is perpetually losing value. Please call us at 1-800 468-2418 2646 for your free copies. Just mention that you heard it on the One Radio Network show. 1-800-468-2646.
That is Andrew Goss's company. He'll be here as he is every Wednesday on One Radio Network. Good friend, and buys and sells gold coins for a living. President Trump and Mr. Mnuchin have been talking down the dollar for the last month, saying the dollar's too strong. They want to get it weaker so American companies can sell more stuff overseas. Everybody around the world is trying to keep their currency down. It's called a race to the bottom. They do that so their stuff is cheaper here. You know, the French want to keep the euro down so they can sell more French cheese in New York and stuff like that. Anyway, it's kind of curious what's going on today. Generally, when the dollar goes down, gold and silver go up because it's an inverse thing, but there is backwardization going on today. The dollar is down huge, 70 points. That's a 0.70, which is almost a full point. It's a big drop. Generally, when that happens, gold is up big and silver is up big, but gold and silver are down this morning, a percent each. So not sure what that's about. We'll talk to Andrew. It happens, but usually it just means that the boys are monkeying around with the numbers along the way because they can control this puppy. Anyway, so that's the story. Gold is $1,275, silver $1,799. The market is up 200 points. Everybody's happy this morning. Happy days are here again. And as I said, the dollar is down and crude is down. And that's about it from Andy Goss's company, SDL Incorporated.
Broadcasting live, weekday mornings, this is listener-supported One Radio Network. We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com. Once again, here's Patrick.
Talking with Stephen Huer, naturopath, and man about town, a bon vivant, raconteur. And where do you live? You live in North Carolina, right?
Nope, South Carolina.
Well, I never do get that right. South, north, nah, north, south. And Stephen is a actively gardener now, too. You're really getting into growing amazing vegetables, aren't you? How's that going?
Yeah, I just, one of my fruit trees was dropping the plums, and I called up the expert on this, and I said, what can I do? And he says, oh, you have to build up the energy in the soil enough. Have you measured the energy in your soil? And I forgot about this probe that I bought. It's like $400 probe. And you stick the thing in the ground, yeah, 4 or 5 inches, and it will measure the electrical conductivity of your soil.
Whoa.
Which is to say how much exchange between what's called anionic and cationic elements is happening. So there's a lot of exchange. Your garden would be 600 or higher on the reading to be a really healthy energy for the garden. And then the fruit trees should be 400 or higher. Well, my fruit tree was only 100, and my garden was only 400. So my energy is still too low. And they've told me it takes up to 3 years to build the energy of your soil up to where it's supposed to be.
Wow.
So this is only the first year. So
your little tree, you got plums in 1 year?
Well, the plum tree has been there for years. It's just that it hasn't been properly fertilized.
Oh, I see. So you're just juicing it up now.
Yeah.
Huh? And so what kind of things do you do to get the energy up? Just minerals and stuff?
Yeah, it's a combination of like everything from ammonium sulfate to phosphates to calcium to nitrate, nitrogen, and the copper and manganese and all, just a bunch of different elements that are all put together in a powder. And then what I would do is to take these mature trees and turn them around really well, I should drill holes in the ground, and all that soil that I drilled out, I should mix with this amendments, and I should add the calciums have to be in there too, and then probably humates too. And then I'd have maybe 10 of these holes around the ring of the tree, then that tree would jam the next year, but I haven't done that yet.
Wow, that's really cool. What is, do they have a pH of the soil that they recommend is the bestest?
No, they say pH is irrelevant almost.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, you could have a perfect pH and still not have bioavailable calcium to the plant, and so liming the soil would still be produce, you know, beneficial results for the growth of the plant, as opposed to just accepting that the pH is the only value you need to look at.
Oh, I see. Okay. So, some soul has been on hold for half an hour. Sorry you were on hold so long. Who's this? Hello? Oh, Well, they never really were on. They hung up and it didn't disconnect. So come on, call on back, excuse me, 888-663-6386 or email Patrick at oneradionetwork.com. Stephen, I know that you do a lot of cool supplements and nutrients on your website along with the whey, right? Some really cool stuff like Synergy One. So let's, you know, people like to get silver bullets. So because we're getting emails about that, we might as well get to write some of these. What are some of the things that you, as we dig more into this while you're here this morning, have found superfoods, nutrients, supplements that do a good job with as people are modifying their diet to help heal, whether it be the large intestine, small intestine. We've heard about things like glutamate. There's a product called Restore. Do you carry that, Restore?
We carry something called Intestinal Soothe, which has...
Probably the same thing, kind of idea.
Combination, yeah. Rhabdogalactin, aloe vera concentrate, L-glutamine, all the nutrients that heal and soothe the intestinal lining, yeah.
What's the name of the product?
Intestinal Soothe.
I like it. Intestinal Soothe.
Yeah.
And what are some of the ingredients in that?
Rhabdogalactin, which...
I beg your pardon?
It's a small starch that feeds the bacteria, so they produce butyric acid that ends up healing. The butyric acid is the main fuel for the intestinal cells, so they thrive.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a food that helps you produce more of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like prebiotics, so it helps your bacteria grow too.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's a 200-to-1 aloe vera extract, and that's just phenomenal for the gut healing because of all the mucopolysaccharides and acemannans and whatever. And then the L-glutamine, because L-glutamine is the primary amino acid, just like the muscles need branched chain amino acids, valine, leucine, and isoleucine to primarily repair themselves. The gut needs glutamine
mm-hmm.
primarily repair itself, and mm-hmm. so there's that in the formula too. Let's see here, what else is in that product? There's one or two other things I'm thinking, I'm just not remembering right now.
That's right. Wow, Intestinal Soothe, that sounds... Boy, what is it about aloe?
Licorice is in it.
Oh, licorice is it. Good, yeah.
10-to-1 licorice extract. Yeah. Deglycerized licorice, yeah.
Licorice is kind of a classic stomach healer, isn't it, over the years?
Yeah, it definitely contributes. I think it's like a substitute for a source of cortisol that helps with cortisol levels.
Does licorice raise high blood pressure?
I don't know. I don't think it does. I don't recall that. No, I don't know.
No, I've just seen that. And, you know, if it's on the internet, then it's true. But I've seen that is one of the possible to
maybe,
be...
Maybe it's the glycerin that does that and they've deglycerized it.
DGL. Yeah. So if you're taking glutamine or your product Intestinal Soothe. And you're taking these, but you're still somehow eating some things that are causing the problem because you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Are you wasting your money?
Yeah, to a degree. I mean, because you really do need to clean up the diet. And
so I guess these things don't work much if the offender's still in there swimming around. But I guess it'd be hard to say exactly how much.
Yeah, it kind of depends upon your state of deterioration. You
right.
know? Could be mild, it could be severe. If it's severe, then you want to avoid everything. If it's mild, then you might be, you know, get by with these offending foods once in a while but still be healing by using some of the supplement remedies that we've got.
Yeah. And do you know of foods in general that are soothing for the gut?
Gosh.
Or healing. I know that back in the IBS days, I did okra was very easy for me.
I don't know
about it. It's all that gooey stuff, you know, okra is like snot, you know?
Yes.
It's like snot. Your stomach likes that, isn't it?
My garden, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one for sure. And I think any mucilaginous food would probably be in the same category.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking in terms of like yogurt. Like, it's like, that's one of the things that I did feel benefits from when I did the Bravo probiotic yogurt. So, you know, the main benefit from a probiotic isn't the organisms, it's the proteins they produce. So you'll get more results if you take whatever probiotic you've got, if you open that up into either vegetable broth that you've made or fruit juice or preferably, you know, raw milk if you tolerate it, and you culture any of those three fluids into pre-digested liquid, in this case, yogurt. So you're producing peptides and proteins from the metabolism of the probiotics, feeding upon whatever the substrate is that you've fed them, given them, and it's those peptides that end up helping to heal the gut from leaky gut and thickening the intestinal lining wall and all that.
Mm-hmm. Stephen Huer is with us, and we're going to get your emails. You have more, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. All the years that you've been in this business, Stephen, which is a long time, I'm sure you've come across, you know, 150 different probiotics, and everybody claims that their process is the best, right? And have you seen any that, in your opinion, quantify the ones that you promote for that are some of the best ones that are your favorites right now?
There's a lot out there that are all beneficial, but my favorites are the Bravo probiotic and the another one called Progurt. Progurt, I think, comes from Australia, and I don't carry that one right now, but it too is a very good one. You can make a yogurt out of it. You can take it in, you know, just as a probiotic powder, and it's also got all those proteins that it's produced in the milk and into the yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my two favorite. And the other thing that people need to realize is that they've done studies on people with obesity, and they've found that the gut microflora of a person that's obese is much smaller spectrum of organisms than someone that's lean and healthy. And so it's part of being healthy is having a wide spectrum of organisms, and all the probiotics on the market that are out there, they go from as little as one microorganism in the formula to 10 to sometimes 26.
Right, 400 billion, 500 billion.
Well, that's just the population.
That's the population. That's not the different. So organism, you're using the term strains.
Different strains, different species of organisms. You need yeast and you need bacteria, and the broadest spectrum I found is the Bravo. It's 42 probiotic bacteria and yeasts and or the Progurt product that also has a lot.
Progurt.
And then if you want a silver bullet, there is one that
So I was just looking at some of the emails here, trying to get some that a lot of the emails are not about the gut. I was trying to stay on track for a second. That's just why I was paused there. But if you want a silver bullet, you got a silver bullet? We like them.
Yeah, so a silver bullet that I think is really profound is the something that's been around for, I don't know, 15, 20 years. It's called the hyperimmune egg.
What? Hyperimmune egg?
Yeah. They inoculate the chicken with various pathogens, and the egg ends up producing all the antibodies, just like, you know, would happen if a mother was exposed to something. It would go to the placenta, and the baby would have the antibodies too. So in this case, it's an egg, and these eggs have a bunch of different antibodies to different pathogens. And so these are immunoglobulins. And so they call it the IgY immunoglobulins, and it's a passive immunity. So you're getting an outside source of an immune system when you take it, and some of the stuff that's happened with this in studies is that it lowers that level of the zonulin. So that particular chemical called zonulin that causes your tight junctions to open up, make you absorb proteins undigested, it fixes that. It lowers the zonulin. The tight junctions can go back to normal. It also raises the level of an enzyme that helps break down all the histamine that you produce in excess quantities when you have an immune response. It's been shown to be really good for athletes. It'll cause their heartbeat to lower the rate of its beating, but the output of the heartbeat puts out more blood. It lowers cytokine levels if they're high, or it helps balance the cytokine. That's the inflammatory marker. Joint health has been really good for cardiovascular health. It lowers bad fats in the blood, and then muscle recovery for athletes as well. It's been really good for HIV and AIDS people. It's a really, really powerful thing that does multiple things to the body. If you heal the gut, the rest of the body can heal pretty much in most instances.
Sure. I would suspect that's accurate.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool, though, when you think about it? Maybe focus on that little guy, because we know, isn't it? It's true, right? The whole immune system is in the gut. And
And it also feeds the beneficial bacteria. In studies, they show that the beneficial bacteria populations increase substantially on the hyperimmune egg. And what else?
So this hyperimmune egg, I mean, you got to have your own chicken, or what's the deal?
No, it's a product. It's a powder. It tastes really good, actually. You just put it in water.
It's an actual powder product?
Yeah. It's a protein powder that you can just buy in these little containers, and you do a scoop maybe once to twice a day, and I really notice it. It's a pretty nice product.
And wow.
Yeah.
And it's just doing... It's lowering the zanulin level, which is what opens up the junctures.
Yeah, and it's also causing an increase in an enzyme that lowers the histamine levels, feeds the good bacteria in the gut.
So it's like a prebiotic.
Prebiotic, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it does all these other things that are, you know, athletically and immunologically that are really profound.
Pretty amazing. So yeah. It's called Immune
Hyperimmune Egg.
And that's on your website.
Yeah.
You can click through One Radio Network and just click on the way ad and then find your way to Hyperimmune Egg. That's cool. Man, yeah. That's the first time I ever heard about that. How'd you come in contact?
I heard about that many years ago, and then just recently I found a company that supplies it, so I started to private label it from them.
Oh, that's fun. So it's just something you could add to your whey, right? Just put it in there.
You could, yeah, but if you do the whey, just do it. The thing about this is that if you take it with milk tends to bind up your proteins and make them less available. So I wouldn't do it with milk. It's the whey is fine, but not with milk.
Say that again now.
That if time you mix something with milk,
yeah.
The milk binds up proteins and delays their absorption or inhibits them from ever being absorbed.
Oh, so you think we should do I do the whey and colostrum, not good?
Well,
I
do them in milk myself, whey and colostrum, because they just taste better. But if you want the full immune effect of the egg, I would do it with milk.
Oh, colostrum and whey is cool, in your opinion.
Yeah, because you're using more of those things. So you're going to get more absorption of those because there's a higher quantity. You're using a much smaller amount of this hyperimmune egg, and you want to absorb all of it.
Oh, so you want to do this just in water or something?
Water would be the best, yeah.
I see. Hyperimmune egg. Hope the chicken wasn't hyper when that was all going on. Poor chicken. Chicken says, man, I'm all hyper here. It almost sounds like that idea. Who was the fellow, Stephen, that we used to know that shot this, the udders of the cows with his own?
Oh, yeah.
What was his name?
I don't remember the person, but I do remember that, yeah.
Yeah. Was he doing it with his own urine or his own blood? Or?
I don't know.
And he was allowing the cow to kind of make this immune milk for him.
Yes.
Yeah, we did a show with him. Sharon would probably know the fellow's name, and I think we've actually got a podcast. Pretty wild. Here's an email. Dear Stephen, I love your products, so I'm wondering, what can I do to help someone to wake up more mentally and spiritually? He or she has his doubts about his false beliefs, but is also afraid to look at proof that would free them. This is in part to their false religious leaders while installing deniers or lack of items. I know that he or she has to do it independently, and I know that physical healing helped me when in this predicament. Thank you. Thank you, and Patrick, and God bless you. Oh, by the way, I'm giving him more sprouts and salads in One World Way. Lots of love, Anonymous, by necessarily.
Okay.
Well,
the thing on that is that your pineal gland produces pinealine and DMT and melatonin, and those are the chemicals that create the slow brainwave states that make you have more theta and more delta and connect more to your own soul, your own God guidance. And so anything that's going to activate the pineal gland, slow down the brain, is going to contribute to someone being more contemplative, more able to achieve a meditative state. So if the person's saying, well, what can I do to fix that? You would have to supplement them with, tryptophan and B6 just to help them have a little more serotonin and perhaps the other chemicals. But the problem is that people have been exposed to fluoride somewhere in their lives, and that's calcified their pineal gland, and or they've been exposed to mercury, and mercury messes up the brain, so the person tends to become real rigid, inflexible, doesn't want to take on new mm-hmm. ideas. So if you don't get rid of the mercury, you're typically not going to have someone wake up spiritually. And then the other is you could do those supplements to nourish a higher level of pineal gland neural hormones, mm-hmm. is the tryptophan and B6.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Also to this email, I just emailed her back. I asked to send me her address, her address. It's a woman. And if you'd like a little book called The Call of Soul, which is a little nice little eye-opener book to just this idea that we are soul. Also, in the back of this book is a CD that can help you to learn how to hew, H-U, and you don't have to be any religion, doesn't matter, any spiritual path, doesn't matter. And so just email me with your address and I'll send you a little book. Somebody just wrote in, Jerry Brunetti is the person you're trying to think about.
Oh, he passed away.
Remember that? Yeah, but he was the fellow that did this. He was really sick and it kept him going for a long time. I think he had cancer, right? He had cancer.
Yeah.
Oh, so he eventually went on to his cosmic vacation, huh?
Yeah.
Gotta love him. All right, it is April 24th, 2017. Here's some questions for you, Stephen. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay, number one, does all bread damage the gut? Is there a substitute that would satisfy my bread addiction? A quality sourdough bread, I did not like the paleo breads I've tried.
Yes, that's what I was saying earlier. They probably didn't hear that part of the interview, but if they get einkorn, many people that have had gluten sensitivities don't have a sensitivity to the einkorn grain, but you have to make it yourself typically. So you buy the grain, grind it yourself into flour, and make your own bread.
Mm-hmm.
The other just organic hard red winter wheat or the white wheat that are whole organic. You can buy those, make your own flour, and make it into sourdough. Or you can buy the grain and sprout them, and that changes the texture of your final product quite a bit. A sprouted grain bread is much more sweeter. And I used to live on sprouted grain breads for years. I'd make my own Essene bread. And that was actually my favorite for a while. So I'd sprout that, and then I'd grind it into a dough, and I'd add grated carrots and raisins sometimes and just cook it into a dextrinized sweet bread, and it was really good. So those are the three ways they can overcome and still enjoy wheat in their diet, perhaps, and not have problems.
I was just trying to Google this. If you... I'm going to find the name of the book. Carlo Bartolucci, the lady that does the iron corn, is a good friend of mine. And she has a whole book on bread making with iron corn recipes. And it's in Amazon. It's a great book. I've got it.
It's an amazing
book. It's an amazing book. And I think it's called The Iron Corn Cookbook, Discover the World's Purest, Most Ancient Form of Wheat with All Kinds of Recipes, called The Iron Corn Cookbook. This is a different one from what I have. This must be new. And then there is also a book called Iron Corn, which is the bread book. So there's two of them, Stephen. Which one do you have?
I think I have the first one because I got it years ago.
Yeah, me too. Einkorn. Then there's a new one. Looks like a new one. We'll have to get Carl on, called the Einkorn Cookbook. And you could learn how to make some really good breads. Isn't it amazing that this ancient wheat, you know, because two of Carla's children had celiac stuff, and that's how she discovered this Einkorn wheat.
It was two. I recall it being one. Okay. Two.
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, I'm sorry. It was one. One. Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's phenomenal. So and so encouraging. There's so much good stuff you have on, so many, you know, life-affirming people you have, you know, on your show. It's great.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's good. I had some of Carla's Jovial Foods organic brown rice pasta last night. Boy, I do good on that. Whew, man. Yeah. It's like manna for me. And do you know that she's now sourced some organic brown rice in Italy, which is even lower in arsenic than what you can find around here? Isn't that cool?
No, I didn't know that.
Isn't that cool? Now, okay. I don't know if she's got it yet, but that's how careful she is about this. It's so gratifying to hear people like this that are really into it. You know, it's just great, like you in the way. Here's question two. I hear many pros and cons on liver fleshes. What is your opinion, and what would you suggest a particular protocol?
I've done several liver gallbladder fleshes, and recently I did two over the course of a month, I think it was. And you can actually cause stones, I think, to unleash and then plug up the biliary ducts and start to have malfunction. I think that's what I did a couple of gallbladder fleshes ago. But then I did another one. I felt better after it. I think they're valuable. I think they can be very helpful. I like to do it with phosphoric acid, the traditional old-fashioned way that Standard Process Labs puts out and a few others. You have to do phosphoric acid in your apple juice for at least a day, 3 days sometimes if you want to do a three-day buildup or one day, and then you do the flush at night. I like to use, of course, the Andreas seed oils. I don't use just the commercial or organic olive oil or any of the other recommended oils. I use the Andreas sunflower oil or any other one that has a high amount of omega-9 or 6 and 9.
Oh, so that's a good idea. So instead of the olive oil, you did like the sunflower. You could probably mix sunflower and maybe hemp or just sunflower, you think?
Sunflower or hemp, I think hemp has got a lot of omega-3 and 6, so I try and find one that's more omega-9.
Which is sunflower?
Yeah.
And how much did you drink?
I just half a cup. I know some of the recipes call for a cup, but my body size is so small. I think that there's no one set amount. Either a half a cup if you're a small body weight, you know, 135 or 145 and smaller. Mm-hmm. If you're a bigger body weight, then you might want to go with a cup.
Did you add lemon juice or orange juice or grapefruit or anything?
Yeah, I do the grapefruit juice. Grapefruit juice.
And you sloshed it down at what time?
Oh, the 9:45, you know.
At night?
Yeah, at night, and then you lay down.
And you lay down, and did you have stones that come out?
Well, I always have the congealed oil. I call it congealed oil because they're soft. They're like butter.
But you've never seen any hard stones?
No, I've never had any hard stones. I might have when I was in the 90s. I think I did maybe in the 90s when I did one way back then. But I've realized now that you got it. They'll tend to be darker, and they'll be very hard, and they'll have concentric rings if they're stones.
Yeah, I definitely had some hard ones, but it's been many years ago.
Yeah.
Haven't done any. So do you think it's a good way to detox the liver?
I think it's I think that the One World Way is the best way to detox the liver because the way the liver detoxifies itself is its primary mechanism is glutathione. And that is fueled the most effectively with One World Way and perhaps the NFR2, you know, catalyst. There's a protein in our cells called NFR2, I think it is, that if you activate it with certain nutrients, broccoli sprout extract and a few other things, then you can, you know, epigenetically activate more glutathione production with that. But you have to have the substrate building block there, which is the cysteine, and that's the highest in the One World Way, and it uniquely gets into the blood and into the cells better than just taking a crystalline amino acid L-cysteine or N-acetylcysteine because it's in a disulfide form. So it's two molecules of cysteine locked together, and that particular form enables you to absorb much more of it into the cells than if it comes in its crystalline free form state.
Wow. So you think the One World Way on its own over time detoxifies the liver?
Yes. And I've seen too many people have miracles on it with, you know, constipation going away, their colitis going away, that because you have to produce glutathione along the entire intestinal lining to heal the gut, and that's what the whey does. Plus you have to produce it in the liver so the liver can detoxify itself. And then if you have stones, you don't always have to go with a liver gallbladder flush. I believe that you can dissolve them simply by raising the concentration of your bile itself. Your bile itself should be like 8.55 pH, and most people are deficient in organic food sodium to produce a really alkaline bile, so their bile starts to become acidic and everything starts to precipitate out into stones. And if you take the Mount Capra mineral whey, the goat's whey material, you'll get the high amount of organic food-based sodium, calcium, magnesium, potassium, and chloride, plus 20 minerals that will be like a transfusion of electrolytes, so your heart will not have to work as hard, you can exercise easier with less heartbeats, plus you'll be supporting your liver's ability to produce this bile in the proper concentration with enough sodium, and not salt sodium, but food sodium. and then you can also take bile salts, you know, to help you have more from an outside source of the bile material to help your liver produce more bile and potentially dissolve the stones without having to do the flush.
Yeah, I've heard about this goat's whey that you've had. What's it called?
Mount Capra Mineral Whey.
Mount Capra Mineral Whey. And that's one of the things, one of the food sources that will increase the pH and produce more bile and actually dissolve the stones.
Yeah, that will help the bile to become more concentrated and more effective. Because if you take healthy bile from, say, an animal's ox bile or whatever, and you drop gallstones into it, the gallstones dissolve.
Wow.
So proper bile and the proper strength will dissolve any gallstone in your system.
Wow. So that's why in a healthy operating system, you don't get any stones.
Right, exactly.
Huh. And the reason you get stones is too acid.
Yes. Your bile has become too acid and, doesn't work anymore.
And then this little stuff gets stoned. Just kidding. Right. Okay. So what are bile salts? I've heard about that, but I've never... do you sell those?
Yeah, we do.
What is it? What are they? What's it made out of?
Ox bile.
Good. Ox bile.
Yeah.
I'll be done. And what does it do? Is it symptomatic, or does it help the bile to become more alkaline?
Yeah, it's kind of like you're giving yourself the actual direct material, so your meal is going to digest easier. Any fat in your meal is going to digest easier,
mm-hmm.
and then your whatever's not used in the digestive process can be recycled through the intestines. It'll absorb through the intestines into the bloodstream, go into the liver, and provide some of that building blocks for your own liver to start making stronger bile.
Oh, cool. Here's a question. If one is allergic to psyllium, doesn't do well with bentonite, what are other good cleansers that don't irritate the gut?
If they don't do good with psyllium, what are good other cleansers? We have something called soluble fiber.
Soluble fiber, okay.
Yeah, it's really unique stuff. It's, I forget, it's some kind of a root, I think, and then they process it in a certain way, and it's like just a little, like a quarter of a teaspoon, just you could put that into 8 ounces of water, and the whole thing will just swell up into this gel. And that's the best fiber I've ever found. It doesn't cause gas. It doesn't cause, just like, I know psyllium I don't like. It causes me gas, so mm-hmm. I like soluble fiber stuff.
Called, and on your website, what's it called? Soluble fiber?
Soluble fiber, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I was going to say about the gut that people need to know is that artificial sweeteners are a contributor to insulin insensitivity and, you know, just a bad GI tract. So not that hopefully your listeners aren't using artificial sweeteners. Maybe their friends or family are, and they just need to help them out in understanding that that's just total sabotaging good GI tract health and making you predisposed to diabetes just because it makes you insulin insensitive.
Yeah. You know, there's nothing worse than, like, somebody that's insensitive. And then insulin does it, too. I mean, what's up with that? You're so insensitive. Well, I know, but I'm just my job here.
Oh, the other thing, you got parasites too. That's another thing I was going to say. I've got this, I'm working with this zapper that I told you about in our last interview. Ken Presner or whatever. His zapper is the best, and some people totally have gotten rid of their parasites just by doing zapping.
I'll be darned. Do you strap it on your body, or how do you use it?
Yeah, and then you just blast off. No, you
blast off.
You just hold on to handheld cylinders, and you put your feet on some plates.
Yeah.
Good that way, yeah.
And you sell those on your site. What's it called? Zapper?
We call it the world's most powerful zapper. We've got a whole tab for it.
Tell folks that it works. It's just amazing. I think Hulda Clark really, didn't she kind of bring this out years ago?
She did, and that's where he found out about it.
With Hulda Clark.
The Hulda Clark lecture, because he had multiple sclerosis and Crohn's disease. And he had an intuition that he was going to win the free giveaway of the zapper, and he did. And he used it, got some improvement, and because he was an electrical engineer, he thought he could improve it. He did, and it was a kick butt. I've used so many Rife devices over the years.
Yeah, they didn't work.
$1,000. This little $500-some-odd device just blows them all away.
No kidding. And how can you tell it's really croaking, these bad actors, huh? You can feel it in your body?
I had some kind of I was bad off not too many, a few months ago, and just like an infection on top of the hyperthyroid thing I was dealing with. So I did it, and I felt like a massive headache that night, but then the next day I was like 90% better.
Wow.
So I killed off a bunch of stuff, caused inflammation in my brain, but the next day I was like way better.
That's amazing. And it's so cool because what they're doing is just a frequency, huh, in the body that it just croaks these guys.
Yeah, he's figured something out where
it's amazing.
The frequency really does fill them in, kills them, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here's an email for Stephen Hewer, if you have one, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. I know you don't call, so nobody knows how to use the phone anymore. It's just like this digit thing. You got a little pad, and you go 888. I know it's hard, so just email. The new rage is microbiome, says the emailer. Quite a buzzword, and plenty of new probiotics, prebiotics on the market. How do we determine what is the best bacteria species to take? Good question. As some are specific for certain called conditions. They even have probiotic called Mood. They contain strains that are specific to enhance mood or helping with depression. Some people are sensitive to the lactic acid bacteria, do better with bifidus, and some's pretty much a guessing game. So this email is kind of curious on, how do you figure this out?
I mean, like I said, if you want to watch some impressive videos, just go online and watch the videos with Dr. Marco Ruggiero, and you'll see about Bravo yogurt, and you'll hear some amazing case histories, including the one where the 2015 Autism One conference, the woman that got on stage and told everyone that her autistic boy was normal after 3 months on Bravo yogurt. And then Marco Ruggiero in a later video says that they found that he can take these probiotics and put them into a petri dish with brain cells, and the brain cells grow, and that when they examined people that had died of like AIDS or whatever, these bacteria were naturally occurring in the brain. So he's the guy that discovered these bacteria live in the gut, they migrate through the gut, through the lymph, up to the brain, and orchestrate brain growth and brain chemistry. And then a later video, he said that that same boy that got recovered from autism on this yogurt, a year after being on the yogurt, he was like 90% like smarter than everybody else in his class.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So the evidence is what you want to look for. It's like, and yes, these people that do the research and determine what gut microbes exist in the gut, which ones should be used as probiotic supplements. I haven't done my homework to know that. I just know that that's what their expertise is, and they produce a product that, you know, based on research and the results. And so that's why Bravo has been front and center stage for me to recommend as a probiotic for people, because it has produced the most significant changes in people's health of any probiotic I've ever worked with.
Stephen Huer, Patrick Timpone. Tomorrow, Dr. Jennifer Daniels. She's a handful, and we love having her on the air. She's here the last Tuesday of every month. That would be on the morrow. Andrew Goss on Wednesday, and the Masseys, Richard Massey, Meridian Grace, and their monthly visit here. And I think they'll be here in the studio, which is always fun. And that is Thursday. Then Sharon and I open phone Friday. We have a great week of shows for you. And Ruben, our great geek, tech guy, he's uploaded the rest of the shows. We still have a few odds and ends to clean up. But in general, just say overall big picture, the 4,500 hours are up and running again through this new platform that we had to put in because we had some hacking karma that I didn't know about. Yeah, I mean, when I came in this lifetime, there was nobody that said, Patrick, you have hacking karma that you're going to deal with in 2017. So, I mean, you know, what's up with that? That was in the fine print. Just kidding. But anyway, so we worked through that. But if you want to run across a podcast that is not there ready for you to listen to and or download both, simply there'll be a form there that says missing podcast. You just fill out that form and put in your email, and the form will come to us directly to the right place. We'll fix it. We can fix it pretty quickly, unless it's in the middle of the night. You have to wait till the morning. And then if you put in your email, we'll also then email you back and say, hey, it's fixed. So it's a pretty cool system. It's not perfect yet. All these shows are not up and running because, you know, geeks, computers, man, they have a mind of their own. And they're going to run the world someday. But by that time, you and I are going to be, we thought we would just, we'd be out of here by now. Whatever. So that's the latest update on the podcast. Previously with Peter Ragnar, who's a great example of staying young and healthy, we asked him what kinds of things he takes.
Personally, for myself, I look at all of the supplements that help bolster and harmonize my hormones. And, you know, this is both for men and for women. And when you go online, there's so much information about that out there. I heard on one of your advertisements there, Patrick, about the pine pollen. I personally take pine pollen, which I think it's an amazing product, has an amazing effect upon the body.
Peter, it's one of our favorites too. Pine pollen, any of these are Thrival links. You have the pine pollen pure potency, pine pollen gold, and if you'd like to get it every month, the auto ship is the best price. Also, Stephen Buhner's book, exclusively on pine pollen, is right there on the site too, Daniel's site, right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. Previously on our show, we talked to the now legendary Dr. Dietrich Klinghardt, and he mentioned sulfur. He's a fan.
The conditions in our world and our environment are changing so dramatically that people need to have a whole host of self-help tools and methods. Mm-hmm. And I'm very thrilled about your version of MSM. It's a right way to go. You know, sulfur is part of most of the detox enzymes and the critical part that is right now we have a much, much higher need of healthy sulfur than we had even 10 years ago. And so I followed your work a little bit, you know, that you're on the right track with what you are promoting.
Well, Dr. Klinghardt, we've heard from thousands of people over the year how they really love this product. You can click and order our Pure Sulfur three prices, United States, Canada, and worldwide, right here, or email me, Patrick, at oneradionetwork.com for a discount for more than £4. Pure Sulfur, one of the few places where you can get this product. One.
Know the source. The source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
This is Houston. Say again, please.
Houston, we have a problem.
Yeah, but we have a solution too, Houston. Even here, we have a lot of problems like Houston, but we have solutions, don't we?
We do.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
The cosmic force of love and positivity exuding from our beings is the answer.
I love that. Yeah. Exuding from our beings as we human string beans. That's what we do for a living, right? Just exude it.
Yes.
That's funny.
I wanted to say one more thing about the healing the gut.
Yeah, sure.
That the seed oils are also in that category of being promoting the anti-inflammatory and the healing of the gut. And, you know, Andreas's Crohn's disease went away using these seed oils. And also we had another case history of a guy named Lee, whose testimony I'm going to start, you know, having on your show soon. But he also had 10 years of colitis and took all the drugs and stuff during that time, got no better, and got on the oils. And he's, for 13 months now, been off all meds, and he's totally got his ulcerative colitis under control from taking just Andreas flaxseed, five-seed blend, black cumin, and coriander.
Wow, isn't that great?
Yeah.
So he was on drugs and all this stuff for years.
10 years.
10 years.
Yep.
And the colitis thing, it's gone. It's gone.
Yeah, and he didn't do any probiotics. He didn't focus on all those things. I mean, it was just these seed oils.
How do you get turned on to just doing the oils?
He lived in the area where Andreas was, and he heard there was another person whose arthritis went away using these oils, and she told him of her benefits, so he was hopeful that he might benefit too, so he met Andreas, talked with him, got the oils, and started using them.
And do you know what kind of doses he did, Stephen, he say?
It's one teaspoon of each of these oils, of the Andreas, the flaxseed oil, the five-seed oil, and the black cumin, one teaspoon of each of those 3 times a day, and the coriander 5 to 10 drops 3 times a day. You know, one of the things that I didn't realize in all the studies that I did on these oils was that coriander, the seed material, it kills the pathogenic bacteria in the gut but encourages the good bacteria to grow. It increases the glutathione production by 20 to 37% depending on the organ tested, and that's just the actual seed material. But if you take the oil and give it to the animal, it increases the glutathione by 100% in the body.
Say that, if you, an animal?
Yeah, in test animals, they've actually been able to increase the actual glutathione levels in the body by 100% just with the oil.
More than us humans.
We're not comparing it to humans. We're just saying that the human body
is
going to benefit. It's there are things, like I just said earlier, the NRF2 whatever protein in our body. There's certain plant materials in nature that trigger this NRF2 protein to cause us to produce more antioxidants, and glutathione is one of them. And the coriander seed oil was like took the cake in terms of its ability to promote glutathione production in the body.
Well, you know, Stephen Huer, that's amazing. I've never made the connection for me with these coriander oil and my stomach coming around after 2 or 3 years of off and on.
Oh.
And do you know how much coriander I've been burning through in the last 6 months?
How much?
A lot.
Okay, cool.
I mean, last 6 months, I don't know, 3 or 4 bottles.
Okay.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and then you've been doing, have you done the black cumin seed too, or just the coriander?
No, just the coriander.
Okay.
Because my Ayurveda guy says that the black cumin stuff was just too hot for me because I got lots of acid. But it's settling down so nicely now, and you know, I've done a lot of this coriander because coriander is cool. And he said that would be a great oil for you.
Well, but just, I think we spoke about this before, but studies show that the black cumin seed oil kills the H. pylori organism and helps heal ulcerative, stomach ulcer.
Yeah, but so, I don't think I've ever really had a stomach ulcer.
Okay.
Yeah, so I don't, yeah. But, yeah, the hot stuff just, It didn't work for me. It hasn't worked for me at all.
Okay.
Just hot. So, but coriander is like cool. It's like cilantro is one of the. I mean, so you can grow cilantro in the snow. Yeah, we have. Yeah, I've seen it. I mean, that's how. That, oh yeah, that's how hardy it is. I mean, if you have cilantro and you get a spring snow or something, if it doesn't freeze, it just keeps on growing. It's amazing how cold hardy it is.
Okay.
And it's probably one of the best. Dietrich Klinghardt says the coriander cilantro is probably one of the best heavy metal detoxifiers on the planet.
Yeah.
On the planet.
Zeolites, the cilantros, they're all good. It's just that the main thing is that if you introduce a chemical that's been able, that can chelate a metal out, again, it only is able to chelate a small amount out that it comes in contact with. What chelates all the metals and toxins out of the body the best is turning on, getting rid of the inflammation in the intestines so that phase 2 glutathione production is upregulated so that the whole body says it's safe to produce glutathione because the intestines no longer have inflammation, and then feeding your body a raw whey protein that gives you the building blocks to produce all the glutathione. That's the most effective way, because I, even though I respect Dietrich Klinghardt, I've walked it. I've lived it. I've had the mercury poisoning, the chronic constipation, and I've cured it doing, and this way is the most significant thing to do it.
No, I was just suggesting that he likes it for heavy metals. I wasn't saying that it was the Dalai Lama of getting rid of heavy metals.
Right.
Okay. Just so you know, Bruce in Victoria, does not the psyllium powder eventually in the body turn into the rubbery mass that comes out of the colon?
Yes, that's what will happen is that the clay psyllium will swell up together and go through your intestines as a broom and a magnet, and in and of itself can form that mold that looks just like the intestines. And so, you know, but there are times where people have, you know, fecal matter build up, a hardened layer of mucus build up that does come out. Both of those, you know, are true, you know.
Okay. David in the UK, does Stephen have any successful treatment solutions to offer for the problems of enlarged prostates, which can happen with some of us older guys?
So three things. The most significant change in my prostate health, because I've had an enlarged prostate for years now, was doing the Zapper, where you take the handheld electrodes and you put them on the crease where your thigh meets your buttocks. You know, you put those right there, you sit on the thing, and you put your feet on the foot plates, and you treat yourself for 10 to 15 minutes, and you do that regularly. That'll kill all the microbes that tend to grow in the inflamed tissue, and that helps reduce the inflammation. That's one. Then the other is you take saw palmetto berry extract, and you take the black cumin seed oil. Those two together have been proven to shrink inflamed prostate.
What about the classics? What are they? I think your R.
Yeah, like by GM Africana.
Which one am I thinking of? The, the seed oil, which is...
The pumpkin seed oil.
The pumpkin seed oil. Yeah, that's the one I was looking for. Man, that would be great for prostate.
Yes, both of them have been shown to shrink prostate enlargement in men, both black cumin seed oil and the pumpkin seed oil. Pumpkin seed oil, it would be good to take both because the pumpkin seed oil is going to help you with giving the omega-3 and omega-6 and not just be omega-6 like black cumin is. But black cumin has more medicinal properties. It's got thymoquinone in it, so thymoquinone kills tumor cells. If there's any tumor cells in the prostate, it's going to help kill them. And it's going to kill viruses and fungus and bacteria and promote healthy liver function, healthy lung function. It helps with asthmatics. It just does a bazillion things.
Bazillion. Yeah, I mean, there's so much out there. The black cumin seed is the kind of the rage now, as you know, on the internet. But boy, ours is like the Dalai Lama black cumin, right? I mean, this is, wow, what we have with fresh press with no oxidation. I mean, forget about it, man.
It's also good for raising testosterone levels in a man because it's so high in beta-sitosterol, which is a precursor to testosterone.
Ah.
And, you know, my testosterone levels, I just tested them recently. They're like 1,095 just naturally compared to when I got out of prison, they were like 400 and something. And I know that this is probably part of it, this black cumin seed oil I'll take on a regular basis. And the thing is that the thing about testosterone is that it's not so much how much you have, it's how much free testosterone you have
Said
on before.
How much using, how much you...
How much is available, mm-hmm. And mine's really low right now. It's like 6, and it should be 9.
Oh, so you have a big high number, but the stuff that's free and happy and running around is, you got to get those up.
Right, and that's partly because of I have this hyperthyroid that's messing me up right now, so that I don't, it's making it so I don't have free testosterone. But as soon as I fix the hyperthyroid, that testosterone will probably go back.
So the black cumin, Stephen, won't raise the little free guys up?
No, we have something called testosterone free that does, though. It's a mung bean sprout extract material that's shown and proven to cause a man's protein-bound testosterone to become free testosterone. And I notice it does work.
So you've been using that. That's going to raise it up. That's what you're going to use?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Testosterone free. Okay. Here's an email from Yuan. Yuan, are there any supplements that Mr. Huer recommends for correcting cholestasis? Let's see.
Cholecystitis?
C-H-O-L-E-S-T-A-S-I-S. A condition where bile cannot flow from the liver to the duodenum due to the mechanical blockage in the duct system, such as from a gallstone or metabolic type of this thing caused by nutritional or infectious disturbances in the bile formation.
Yeah, so the cholecystitis, that's inflammation of the bile ducts.
Cholecystitis, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, he would do, there's an infection in there that he needs to get rid of, and I would suggest the black cumin seed oil as being, you know, able to bring in the anti-infective compounds, and then do the bile salts with every meal. And I think probably these oils are going to be the most significant thing for him, because they're going to have the anti-inflammatory effect by the eicosanoids they produce that are anti-inflammatory, plus they're going to have direct killing of the infection that's causing the inflammation. So I'd probably put them on a combination of the black cumin, five seed, flaxseed, and coriander, just like these other people that have healed their guts up with those four oils. And do those, because the coriander is going to help kill the bugs that are causing the infection. The black cumin is going to help kill the bugs, and they're going to all help get rid of the inflammation, and then, you know, that's going to fix the problem. He should also be on that Mount Kapper mineral way so that he improves his, you know, bile-producing capacity with the food-based sodium found in the Mount Kapper mineral way.
And Juan, if you'd like to get those products, go to One Radio Network, if you would. Click on the One World Way link. It'll take you to Stephen's site, and you can order there. Stephen, you also have a telephone number there. Folks have questions before ordering, right?
Yeah, it's 888-88, it's 3-8, and then 988-3325.
988-3225.
No, 888-988-3325.
Right, 3325. And that gets you to a person if they have questions, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What are some new or uncommon suggestions for correcting malabsorption in a person who has been grain-free for years and has tried lots of doses of, say, colostrum, aloe vera, glutamine, Igenis, Vonderplanet's raw egg diet, juice fast, without seeing any noticeable improvement in the condition? Wow. With the symptoms continuing to gradually increase over the years. So he's got some malabsorption stuff that doesn't want to go away.
So malabsorption would be because the villi in the intestines are reduced in number and or in size and length. The carpet, the hair-like projections off the intestinal lining is the mechanism by which we absorb, and that's why they say that if you were to take and, you know, unfold every single fold and villi that's lining the intestines, it would be the size of a tennis court, the surface area of the intestines.
Wow.
So that the villi, they tend to decline. Just, you know, you may not have developed enough because you weren't breastfed, and that's just a whole, you're going to have less than ideal levels of villi in your intestines for absorption throughout your whole life because of that. Or after you get past the age of 50, your level of villi declined by like 40%. So there's, you know, age and genetics that are involved here. Sounds like he's probably in one or two of those categories or both. So I would say that the oils are going to be the most significant thing we've seen to help heal the gut. Just everybody needs to be on these four oils so that you can get rid of the inflammation. And the cell walls of our body, that's the other thing. They're called essential fatty acids because every cell wall requires omega-3 and omega-6 to function. So just like essential amino acids, you eat them daily to maintain protein synthesis. It should be the same way with the sea oils to maintain cell wall integrity.
And what are the four again for the basic gut four protocol would be the flax?
The flax, the 5-seed blend, the black cumin, and the coriander.
The black cumin and the coriander.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then,
now, the coriander, you don't take nearly the dose because it's in a dropper and it's very concentrated.
It's like 5 to 10 drops 3 times a day.
5 to 10, 3 times. And the other ones would be a teaspoon 3 times a day, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And boy, they taste yum, folks, too. And I guess you could mix them in cottage cheese, too, right?
Yeah, of course.
That'd be a great boy to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And then the other thing I was going to say about that is that growing back the villi would be the goal. And there's two things that I'd say in that. One is the Synergy One. Synergy One can help you increase your IGF-1 production, which is key to healing the gut. And then there's another product which I don't take much myself anymore because it's an herbal formula in an oil, sesame oil, and the oil is like oxidized, and my body doesn't ever want it.
Mm-hmm.
But they have pictures of people that have taken this product and actually grown back villi in their intestines.
Mm-hmm.
The product's called Mebo GI.
Mebo. Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those. You got to be on it for like 6 months to get the effects.
Boy, Stephen, I have a couple of bottles of the black cumin now that my stomach is really happy. I think I may start trying that and have some fun. Yeah. I think I'll just do a little bit at a time, you know, and ease up to make sure it doesn't heat me up a little bit. But wow.
The other thing is that black cumin, when they did studies on animals, and they would actually poison the animals with a carcinogen, and
really?
They measure the level of free radicals and cancer development. And if they gave the rats black cumin seed oil, they could give them that chemical, and they were protected from free radical damage by 80% and, you know, cancer formation by 80%. If they gave the animal black cumin seed oil with honey, and they did the same thing of gave them the chemical that caused the cancer and the free radical damage, they were 100% protected from cancer and free radical damage and cancer formation. And
so it's better to take it with honey.
Yeah, so I recommend taking it with honey. That's my favorite way to take it.
How would you do that?
Yeah, it's full of digestive enzymes, honey. That's why things digest better when you use honey with milk or whatever. They all digest better with honey.
So how do you mix honey with the oil?
I just do it, whatever the quantity is, the teaspoon or tablespoon of the black cumin that I'm using,
mm-hmm.
same amount of honey,
mm-hmm.
and I'll do it in 4, 6, 8 ounces of water and maybe some cinnamon, and I just mix that up and drink it.
Oh, just slosh it right in there. And the honey does what?
The honey will actually help you digest it, in my experience. I feel like it is, and then it's going to somehow complement the antioxidant power of oil. It's like it's going to work better to protect you from free radicals and cancer formation.
And if somebody has some kind of a ulcerative thing going on, colitis or in the tummy ulcer, a good raw honey is also known to be beneficial for that. So that's a double whammo there. That's great.
The other thing about honey is that because it's a sugar, it's going to bind with the fats, the oils, the fatty acids, and it's going to chaperone them into the cells because the cells want sugar.
Oh, chaperone them in.
Yeah.
I like that. Is the special vitamin K product that Stephen has discussed on Patrick's show before made from natural sources or is it synthetic? Is it a component of your age reversal protocol?
Yeah, Bone and Heart Health is the new formula that I have. It's got vitamin K2 and minoquinone 7. It's made by bacteria. It's just it's how natto, you know, it's how they use the natto organisms to create natto from soy. That's how this is made. So it's natural bacterial production. Yes, and I do recommend vitamin K2 and vitamin D3 in the diet, you know, daily to maintain, you know, creation of new bone and the healthy teeth and preventing arterial plaque development or reversing calcification of the joints or the arteries. So yeah, it's called Bone and Heart Health. 1 to 2 caps of that a day would be part of anybody's healthy daily program.
So folks, here's a little plug that please keep in mind. When you're looking for different things, you'll read somewhere where maybe a goat whey is good or this or that or vitamin K is good. And I know you Google around and ask Dr. Google, because Dr. Google knows everything, right, Stephen? You know, oh, no, yeah, he's totally free and he's totally, like, user-friendly, doesn't do insurance, but he's good. Well, be careful. Anyway, so why don't you just click on the One World ad, One World on One Radio Network, and just cruise around on Stephen's site, because, you know, listen to what he's saying. He really looks into this stuff, and he keeps, I know that you keep, well, you'll delete a product and insert a better one that you find is better, right?
Yes, I do that all the time.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So Stephen's done a lot of groundwork on this. So rather than just going to Amazon and buying some product, just for fun. You don't know what it is. You don't know where it's been. You don't know who's making it. You don't know anything about it. You know, go ahead and go through One Radio Network, the Way ad, and then find what you need there. Because you have them all categorized with different conditions, don't you, Stephen? And they're pretty easy to find your stuff, right?
Yeah, it is. And if people want the entire report that we're talking about here, they're welcome to get it right now. They just call and we email it to them. I don't have it on the internet yet. It will be on the internet, and then they can download it. But it's called Healing the Gut Protocol, and it's got all this information, all the testimonies of people that healed their constipation, healed their ulcerative colitis, healed their whatever with using one or more of these products, and they got their life back.
So it's 888-988-3325, and just give their email address, and you'll email them the Healing the Gut Protocol.
Yeah.
Cool.
They can call. Yeah.
Cool. Okay, a couple more of them we're going to go here. Let's see. Can you please ask Stephen, how do you test for the free testosterone and general testosterone level? And how do you know what the optimum levels are? Do you need to get this information from a blood test?
Yeah, it's you have to do a blood test, of course. You can go to any lab or go to your doctor or whatever and get it done. Any lab test now does it. And you'd want to do a total testosterone and a free testosterone, and then you'll know. And they'll give you the reference ranges, and those reference ranges are...
Do you think they're pretty accurate, the reference ranges?
I think they're pretty broad, and I think that the numbers of what total is accurate, but in terms of what the reference range is for free, I think that probably is inaccurate. I think the higher the number, the better, and they've got a very wide range. It's like 6 or 9 to, I forget what the other top number was.
So what do you have any conjecture of what a good free level would be to know that you're up to snuff there?
I don't, other than I'd say it's got to be above 9 something. So
above 9.
Yeah.
Now, you've done Synergy One and such good stuff, so it's surprising your free is so low, and you're saying it is because your little thyroid is just not happy.
Yeah, the thyroid is just doing my immune system's attacking my thyroid, and it's just
well,
so wicking things out.
I mean,
out.
What's it doing that for? What's up with that?
I think it's because of that high oxalate diet I did for a little
did
while.
You? Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a mystery on what's doing.
It's just another Da Vinci code where I'm... So you got all plan your little plan to get your thyroid happy again?
I do. I think I'm going to start doing. I'm going to make some raw whey, and I'm going to start doing the whey diet. See if that works, and I'm going to do urine in a diluted manner where it's like a homeopathic dose.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try those two and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting. We did a talk to a fellow in Mexico, a really cool doc who is not with us any longer, and he was using urine. He would take the urine, he'd put it in the blood, he'd shake it up, and then they'd use it for addictions. And it was amazing, the results he was getting. And I mentioned to him that I drink my pee a lot. He said, well, let me give you a little tip. When you drink your pee, put just a little bit of a nice oil in there, and it helps the body to absorb it. So now when I drink my pee, I'll put a little hit of one of your seed oils right in there and mix it up.
Okay.
Yeah, so yeah. I would do that if you can do some urine stuff, because this guy was really in the trenches, Stephen, on the urine, and put just a dab of oil with it, and it'll juice it up.
Okay, thanks for the advice. Thanks.
Sure, sure. Well, I'll send you the bill in the morning, no problem. Do you have insurance? Do you have insurance? Just kidding. Stephen, we got to go. Thanks so much, brother. Good job. Really great job. Is the One World Way guy, Stephen Huer. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, bud. Okay.
See you soon. Bye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye. Yep. Have a little shot of pee, a little bit of flax oil. That'll hook you right up. Thanks to dear Sharon for everything that she does to keep things popping here on One Radio Network and keeping me on a short leash, all the website stuff, which is a big job. And then Lynn, she takes notes every day, and she has some great notes. And Google sees those notes and helps the people around the world find the show. So Lynn, keep at it, girl. Good job. I love you all very much. And I will see you tomorrow with Dr. Jennifer Daniels. And she's here the last Tuesday of the month. See you then.
Broadcasting from the beautiful Hill Country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.